of drinking drugs. We wrote a lot of good gospel songs. And they sing this in the, at the Grand Ole Opry every night, I believe. I saw the light. You can clap your hands and jump up and down if you want to this. I wandered so aimless, life filled with sin. I wouldn't let my dear Savior in. Then Jesus came like a stranger in the night. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. Everybody sing. I saw the light, I saw the light. No more darkness, no more night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow in sight. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. Just like a blind man wandered along, worries and fears I claimed for my own. Then like the blind man, that God gave back his sight. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. I saw the light, I saw the light. No more darkness, no more night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow inside. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. Take it, guys. I was a fool to wander and stray. Straight the gate, narrow the way. Now I have traded the wrong for the right. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. Everybody sing. I saw the light, I saw the light. No more darkness, no more night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow inside. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. I saw the light, I saw the light. No more darkness, no more night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow inside. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to be sharing my testimony nearer the first part of the meeting rather than the end. I have a few things to speak about tonight. But I want to just do a song called Walk on the Water. One of my favourite scriptures in the Bible wasn't said by Jesus, it was said by a disciple. It was when all the disciples were worried about the storm in the boat, and they were panicking. It must have been a terrible storm, and Jesus was asleep. And they woke him up, and he just said, "Peace, be still," and it all stopped. And that scripture, when what the disciples said, "What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" That's a powerful, to be, to have been there. Just, I mean, last night when we were in that cafe, it was thundering and lightning. They were about a foot deep in water in the cafe. And I could just imagine Jesus saying, "Peace be still," and everything. You know, just amazing. So anyway, I wrote this song. There's a long story to this song, but I've probably told it you before. I wasn't going to read the word one morning, and I read it before I went to the studio under pressure. And it was about doing another album, and I were humming and ahhing about it, and Brooke at the studio said, "Let's pray." And when we'd prayed, he said, "God's given me a word for you." I said, "What's that?" He said, "He wants you to get out of the boat." He didn't know I'd read Matthew 14 in the morning. And then I went a funny pale colour. He said, "What's the matter with you?" I said, "You're not going to believe this." I said, "That's a scripture I read this morning. I wasn't going to read it." I said, "But God pulled me back." I said, "What do you think?" He said, "I think God's on your case." So, walk on the water. Don't put your trust in what you see. Get out of the boat and come, said he. Put your trust in the Lord your God and walk on the water with me. The disciples were together in a storm on Galilee. From the boat they saw Jesus walking on the sea. Firstly they were troubled, but the Lord put them at peace. Peter said to Jesus, "Bid me to come to thee." Don't put your trust in what you see. Get out of the boat and come, said he. Put your trust in the Lord your God and walk on the water with me. On a word from Jesus, Peter walked out on the sea. So should we step out in faith as he speaks to you and me. If we start a sinking as Peter did back then, he will surely lift us up by reaching out his hand. Don't put your trust in what you see. Get out of the boat and come, said he. Put your trust in the Lord your God and walk on the water with me. Miracles can happen with God, don't you know? If we move into action when he bids us to go. In our daily living, as the storms of life abound, we should look to Jesus, not at what's around. He has won the victory long ago on Calvary. We can do all things through him who sets us free. Don't put your trust in what you see. Get out of the boat and come, said he. Put your trust in the Lord your God and walk on the water with me. Don't put your trust in what you see. Get out of the boat and come, said he. Put your trust in the Lord your God and walk on the water with me. And walk on the water with me. Thank you. Thank you very much. Yes, well, I finished up writing that song after that word from at the studio. And it's the title song of my second album. Now, I've had some very sad news this week. A good friend of mine, a well-known country gentleman, the ambassador of country music, they called him, George Hamilton IV, has passed away. And Pastor Keith let me know by email. He knew I'd be interested. And I met George. I'd seen him before. Me and my wife went to see him a long time ago in concert. And he used to have his own TV show, did George, in the 70s. But I met him at the NCM, where me and Martin used to go, before, when Paul Davis was living. And we had our songs on the compilation albums, which NCM did. Hence, that's how we got to know Pastor Keith, through him playing our songs. And that's how I met George, he was a great guy, a real gentleman. And I gave him an album at one of those get-togethers at Leighton Buzzard. And the year after, we'd booked him for a church in Colne Parish Church. And Paul Davis rang me up and he said, "Michael, would you like to do a song with George Hamilton?" I said, "Are you kidding, Paul?" I said, "The man's a living legend in country music." I said, "What does he want to do a song with me for?" He said, "Well, he likes your music." And so I finished up sending him my album again in case he'd misplaced it. And I sent him another song, which I'd written and not recorded, to Nashville. And anyway, he chose this song called "There's Only One Name." And when he came to Colne, we went in the studio and recorded it. So it's very special to me now he's passed away. But it was just a honour to know him as a friend. Even though he's such a well-known guy, he was so humble. And whenever he did a concert, he'd wait till every last person had, because there used to be a queue lining up to speak with him and get his autograph and all that, and he used to just stay till the very last person had left. And last year, I went to see my brother in Canada, and I told George I was coming over, and he arranged for me and my brother to be special guests at the Grand Ole Opry in Nashville, backstage. He showed me all around backstage, and where all the old dressing rooms, where all the old performers used to change, and all the photographs there, and then we had special seats at the back of the stage in the Opry. And then the day after, he arranged for me to go on the Cowboy Church, which is, for me, to sing in Nashville is something else. But he came on first and introduced me, then I did a couple of songs, then he came out and we did "There's Only One Name" in Nashville, and we also sang "I Saw the Light," and we got a standing ovation. So it were amazing for me to sing in Nashville, but George sorted all that out. He was such a good guy, he'd do anything to help you. So I rang up, and I rang his home up, and I got his eldest son, not George the Fifth. I thought George the Fifth, his son who's a country singer, was the eldest, but he hasn't, he's an older brother. And he answered the phone, and he said all the family were with him when he passed away around the bed. So, and he was so loved. I said, "Well, he was loved over here as well." And I said, tell your family that you're in our prayers." So we'd like to do this song now. It's called "There's Only One Name." Oh, the brightness of stars or the sun in the sky can't compare with the glow of His grace, or the beauty and splendor and wonderful light and the glory that shines from his face. There's only one name in heaven and earth worthy of glory and honor. Jesus our Savior, the Lamb that was slain, is a name that's above any other. God's prepared us a place in heaven above. Who've accepted his mercy and grace through the victory won on Calvary's hill. On the cross where he went in our place. There's only one name in heaven and earth worthy of glory and honor. Jesus our Savior, the Lamb that was slain, is a name that's above any other. Take it, guys. Let us lift up his name, our glorious Lord, and worship with heart and with soul. For the blood that was shed and the price that was paid can deliver, set free, make whole. There's only one name in heaven and earth worthy of glory and honor. Jesus our Savior, the Lamb that was slain, is a name that's above any other. Jesus our Savior, the Lamb that was slain, is a name that's above any other. Any other. Praise the Lord, and it was an honour to do that song with George, and it's on the country album which I did a couple of years back. It's the one with me with a cowboy hat on. And I got the idea when I was writing that song from one of my favourite scriptures in the Bible. You know, I have a lot of favourite scriptures, and this is one of them. Revelation chapter 5, where John's been taken up into heaven by the Spirit. And there was no one worthy to open the scrolls. And John said, I wept much. And one of the elders said, weep not, for the Lion of the tribe of Judah hath prevailed. That's such a powerful scripture. It tells us that Jesus was the only one worthy to die on the cross for us. And he's the one that did it, the Son of God. What a wonderful Saviour we have. Hallelujah. Right now, I'm going to share my testimony now. I have other things to talk about. And I was born in a little village called Throden, near Colne in Lancashire. And when I was a lad, my godfather was a farmer. I used to work on the farm a lot, and when I was a kid, and I used to take the cows out before I went to school in the morning, bring them back for milking in, after school at night. Anyway, when I was about 10-ish, my mother sent us over the hill to Colne, about 3 miles away, to the Boys' Brigade. And it was while I were in the Boys' Brigade, there was a Bible class, and me and my brother made a decision for Jesus. But, well, the man in the Bible class used to say, just because you're born in a Christian country, it doesn't make you a Christian. And he encouraged all the lads to make a decision for Jesus, which we did. But as a teenager, I drifted away from it all. I started drinking when I was at 16. When I left school, I got a good job at Rolls-Royce working on the... I was a metal finishing trainee working on the turbine blades for the Rolls-Royce engine. I would have finished up as a metallurgist, but... against my mum and dad's wishes, I threw it all in after 12 months and went in the Merchant Navy. After the 3 months at a training school in Sharpness in Gloucestershire, which I did, and it was a tough 3 months there. A lot of lads left without doing the course. I thought there's nowhere, I wouldn't dare show my face in the town if I didn't finish the course after leaving such a good job. Because I did it against my mum and dad's wishes. And anyway, I finished up going to sea. And after a few years in the Merchant Navy, I got married to a girl across the back street. You could say the girl next door, but I just wanted to drink again. I wasn't ready for marriage. And I had a big capacity for drink. I wasn't one of these that could have a couple of gills and be staggering. I used to be able to drink a lot. And that was my downfall, because I had a big capacity for it. And finished up. We had a son, Carl, who's my best pal now, but I thought there were a time I wouldn't see him again, because the marriage broke up and I finished up living rough with other alcoholics in a rough house in the town. I'm cutting the story short because I have a lot of other things to say. But and I used to black out. I used to, if I had no money for drink, I'd take a Valium 10 pill, which the doctor had given me. And I used to take one of these, and because I used to shake all over, I got really bad with a drink all like this. But when I took one of these pills, I blacked out, because the Valium didn't mix with the alcohol, and I used to go as stiff as a board. And these other lads, these other alcoholics I were living in this house with, they used to think I'd died, and they'd send for the doctor. And this happened a few times, plus drying out in hospital. And then at one time, my brother had emigrated to Canada, and he used to write to my mother, and he'd say how happy they were that they'd started going to church again, and Jesus had been the missing piece in their lives, and they were really happy. So, but I just carried on with my drinking, and when they came over, I wasn't going to go up to my mother's, because I'd been keeping away. I was like the black sheep of the family, and I was carrying all this guilt. You know, it was my fault my marriage had broke down, and I'd let my mum and dad down badly, and everybody in the family, and I was just drinking myself into an early grave. But anyway, I went up to see them, and I was 34 years old, and I looked 64. My brother's wife burst into tears when she saw me. And after they'd gone back, I carried on with me drinking. But my mother said to me, God bless her, she's still with us at 94. She was 94 last month. She said, Michael, you can come and live at home again if you can stop drinking. But I tried many times and failed, and just kept slipping back to it. But I thought, I'm going to do it this time, because there was something in me telling me I were better than what I were doing it myself. So it meant going to bed for about a week, sweating and shaking, drinking water, and having a bucket by my bed to be sick, and running in and out of the bathroom. And it's like going through hell. But I dried myself out in about a week. went back to live at my mother's. And after I'd been there a couple of weeks, there was an advert in the paper. Gospel group called Gospel Road, Elim Church in Nelson. Now, I've always been a Johnny Cash fan. And I know that Johnny had come back to the Lord in the early 70s and he'd gone out to the Holy Land and made an album called Gospel Road. So this sort of triggered my imagination. So me and my mum and dad all went to this meeting. I can't remember the singing to this day, and I can't remember the preaching. I just remember at the end, he said, if anyone in here wants to ask Jesus Christ into their heart to be their Lord and Saviour, put your hands up. And me and my mum and dad all put his hands up. And one thing I'll never forget about that night, after the meeting, we had to go forward for prayer. And when they prayed for me, I had all this guilt I'd been carrying, and all this black sheep of the family, and, you know, all this garbage. When they prayed for me, I felt the peace of God start at my toes, and all this stuff just lifted off me. And I just felt full of the peace of the Lord. And though I didn't believe Jesus was real before, I surely did after that. And I started going to church, reading my Bible. All my old friends were trying to drag me back to the drink. And I used to say, I've got something better than the Spirit in a bottle. I've got the Holy Spirit. Anyway, as well as that, at this time, I'd managed to save some money up to go and see my brother in Canada, because I had a nephew over there who I hadn't seen. Anyway, I'd just like to do another song now, and it's called The Greatest Friend of All. It's a title song of my gospel album there at the back, and it, there's a line in it which says, there's a light in the darkness that darkness cannot cover, and Jesus is there. You only have to do is reach out to him. So I like to do this song. When you sit in heaviness of heart, with darkness all around, and you're drowning in your trouble, with no help to be found, there is someone you can call to, will heal your broken heart. He understands your suffering, and he's loved you right from the start. There's a light in the darkness, the darkness cannot cover. It's as precious as a diamond to your soul. Just call the name of Jesus in the midst of all your pain, counter the greatest friend of all. Take it, guys. If you're looking for the answers to the mysteries of life, and the doors you thought were open are closed before your eyes, Well, there's someone standing at your door, desiring to come in. He's been there through eternity, and he's paid the price for your sin. Yeah. There's a light in the darkness, the darkness cannot cover. It's as precious as a diamond to your soul. Just call the name of Jesus in the midst of all your pain, and you'll encounter the greatest friend of all. Just call the name of Jesus in the midst of all that pain, and you'll encounter the greatest friend. Thank you very much, and looking back, when I made a decision for the boys, for the Lord in the boys' brigade, what a blessing it is. I have friends who followed the Lord all their life, and they've been blessed all their life, and God's led them all their life. Now, that's my story, but. Blessed is the person that listens and follows Jesus all their life. But he's there for you. And God must have had a plan, I mean, for me. There's so many things happened in my life where I can see God's hand on it. And yet, God wouldn't have wanted me to become an alcoholic and nearly kill myself. And yet, because I did, he was able to use me by going into prisons. I don't go in now. I haven't been in for about 3 years, but I used to go in strange ways every week and get to share my faith with the prisoners. So I'd never been able to do that. I'd probably, you know, if I hadn't gone into the drink first and been delivered. It's a complete mystery. But blessed is the person that, if they find the Lord, stays with him. You know, so... Anyway, I went to Canada to see my brother and his wife and my nephew. And my brother's wife's mum and dad lived in Toronto. And I landed in Toronto on the Saturday. And on the Sunday, he took me to the Queensway Cathedral in Toronto, which... it's a massive Christian gathering, about 3,000 people there on a Sunday, and they televised the service the week after on Christian television. Now, it was a bit like a big Billy Graham crusade, and there was a big appeal for people to become Christians. Well, I had already done that. A lot of people went forward in that meeting, but I knew I needed prayer. Because the drink had been such a terrible problem to me, and even though I'd stopped drinking at that time, I had a terrible fear in the back of my mind, would I slip back to the drink? Anyway, right at the end of that meeting, Mr. Rutledge, the minister there, was a well-known preacher in Canada at the time. He said, there are people in here who need prayer, come forward. And I was the first out there. I like shot out of my seat, it was like the Holy Spirit pulled me out. And I stood in front of him. I said, I've made a decision for the Lord. I said, I'm going on great guns with him. I've been really blessed. Going to church, reading my Bible. I said, but I've got a fear in the back of my mind. Would I slip back to the drink? I'll never forget his words. He said, do you know that when Jesus died on the cross, he died to set you free from bondage? And fear is bondage. And he quoted me a scripture in Isaiah 53 verse 5 where it says, he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. And he just put his hand over my head, not on my head, just like this, over my head, and he prayed for me to be set free in the name of Jesus from this bondage. And I just felt like hidden chains break in my spirit. And I floated out of that building that day, never forget it. And I've never had a drink since. I've never wanted a drink since. And there's a scripture in the Bible which says, when Jesus sets you're free indeed. And I firmly believe that Jesus has set me free. So, hallelujah. And, in fact, what I'd like to do, I'm going to sing a song now, which, I tried to write a song which typified how I felt about being set free from alcoholism, which I'd been like under the sentence of death, really. I was drinking myself into early grave and I couldn't get out of it. And I tried to put into words how I was delivered, and I called it, I've never felt as free as this before. But to be quite honest, I picture it like this. I picture me stood in front of a judge, and the judge got his black cap on and he's just about to give sentence of death. And somebody says, hold it. Somebody's paid the price. Set him free. That's what it means to me. And that's Jesus for us. And he can do it for anybody. I've never felt as free as this before. I'm jumping for joy, and I'm riding on the wind. I'm floating on the clouds with this joy in my heart. The sun is now giving me the power to live, and I've never felt as free as this before. The moment Jesus, my life, he's broken chains that bound me and give me. He's my sin away, giving me peace. And I've never felt as free as this before. I've never felt before. I was locked in my own prison, but he opened. He told me that he loved me. How could I ask? Well, I've never felt as free as this before. Take it, guy. He's delivered me from fear with the power of the things that used to rule my life are gone. I'm stepping out in faith now with a guide to light my way. I've never felt as free as this before. Well, if you don't believe me, just take Jesus at his word. I know that he can do the same for you. Just take him as your savior, and he will be your friend. I know you're gonna feel the same way too. I've never felt as free as this before. I was locked in my own prison, but he opened up the door. He told me that he loved me. How could I ask for more? Well, I've never felt as free as this before. I've never felt as free as this before. I was locked in my own prison, but he opened up the door. He told me that he loved me. How could I ask for more? Well, I've never felt as free as this before. No, I've never felt as free as this before. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, I don't know who you all are, and I know some of you, but I don't know all of you. So, I'm just going to do a song which I wrote about an ex-soldier at Hitler's Kids. There's a bit of me in there somewhere. And it's called When Billy Met the King. And when I've done this song, I don't want you to clap, because I'm going to say a little prayer asking Jesus into a heart. And if anyone doesn't know Jesus, they can say a little prayer between themselves and God. Not out loud, they can just do it quietly between them and God, and God will know all about it. But if you do say a little prayer like that, make sure you tell Pastor Keith or another Christian about it, because it says in the Bible, if you confess me before God, before men, I will confess you before my Father in heaven. So, this is called When Billy Met the King. He walked into that mission hall and stood there in the light. What brought him in, he didn't know. He needed help that night. He'd forgotten when he'd eaten last who he was. He wasn't sure, but he waited in the soup line just inside the door. A veteran of the service, he'd served his country well. Been honored for his exploits, but he kept it to himself. So many years were just a blur of lost love, bars and drifting. He was wounded on the inside, and some were self-inflicted. He'd a broken heart, a broken home, and almost a broken will. But the steel he'd shown way back then was working in him still. Billy was anchored in the past and doubtful about the future. But the big cross in that mission hall touched his inner nature. He'd sometimes prayed in times of war when things were looking bad. Now with pride all gone, he brought his pain to one who understands. Billy walked up to that cross and sank down to his knees. He'd heard about the one who died to set the captives free. His burden and a hurting soul were all he had to bring. He laid them all down that night, and Billy met the King. the hurt just melted away when Billy met the king. Chains were broken and peace came in when Billy met the king. In the mission church that evening, you could hear the angels sing. A sinner was forgiven when Billy met the king. In the mission church that evening, you could hear the angels sing. A soldier pledged allegiance when Billy Jetson Reyes met the king. Just want to say a little prayer now. And if anyone who doesn't know Jesus, who would like to ask him into their heart, they can say this little prayer between them and God. But make sure you tell someone afterwards. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for sending your Son Jesus to die on a cross for my sins. Heavenly Father, I acknowledge that I am a sinner. And I ask you to forgive my sins right now. I ask you, Lord Jesus, to come into my heart and to be my Lord and Saviour and to lead me on the way everlasting. Amen. It's only a simple little prayer, but if you've said that prayer, make sure you tell someone about it, and they'll be rejoicing in heaven. And why? Because Jesus says... Right now, I want to do a well-known... wouldn't it be great if we had a number one record that was a Christian song? It'd be something else with that, wouldn't it? Well, this one was. This particular song now, we're going to sing, it got to the top of the charts in the... And it's called On the Wings of a Dove. It'd be superb if a Christian song got to number one, wouldn't it, nowadays? On the wings of a snow-white dove, he sends his pure, sweet love, signed from above, on the wings of a dove. When troubles surround us, when evils come, the body grows weak and the spirit grows numb. When these things beset us, he doesn't forget us, sends down his love on the wings of a dove. On the wings of a snow-white dove, he sends his pure, sweet love, a sign from above, on the wings of a dove. When Noah had drifted on the flood many days, he searched for land in various ways. Well, troubles he had some, but he wasn't forgotten. He sent down his love on the wings of a dove, on the wings of a snow-white dove. He sends his pure, sweet love, a sign from above, on the wings of a dove. When Jesus went down to the waters that day, he was baptized in the usual way. And when it was done, God blessed his son. He sent down his love on the wings of a dove, on the wings of a snow-white dove. He sends his pure, sweet love, a sign from above, on the wings of a dove. A sign from above, on the wings of a dove. Thank you very much. Who never has a downer? We all get them, don't we, now and again? And what I do, I go for a walk up near where I live. And this particular day, I've been having a downer for a bit, and I thought, I'll go for a walk. And I walk right up the top of the hill and where it leads into the country, and started walking up into the on the country road, and I was still down. And God must have dropped this word into my mind. God inhabits the praises of his people. And I started singing. I didn't know what, at first, I didn't know, but God gave me the words. And I started singing, washes all my sins away, washes all my sins away. Started singing like this. And by the time I'd walked around Walton Spire and down the golf course and got home, I was up there somewhere. I was flying. And I knew that was that word, what God says, is true. So I learned that if you're ever down, just sing. Sing to the Lord. Sing a song, sing a hymn, and it lifts you. And that, because God doesn't lie, and his word says, I will inhabit the praises of my people. And it worked for me, and I wrote this song, and I'd like to do it for you now. It's not on one of my albums at the back. It's going to be on my new album, this. And you've guessed it, it's called Washes All My Sins Away. Washes all my sins away. Washes all my sins away. The precious blood of Jesus Christ washes all my sins away. Washes all my sins away. Washes all my sins away. The precious blood of Jesus Christ washes all my sins away. When Jesus died on Calvary, he won the final victory. The only one who could pay the price for man to be set free. Washes all my sins away. Washes all my sins away.
The precious blood of Jesus Christ washes all my sins away. When we read John 3:16, understanding what it means, the God of love gave his only Son that man might be redeemed. Washes all my sins away, washes all my sins away. The precious blood of Jesus Christ washes all my sins away. Born in a manger to die on a cross, his one and only mission was to come and save the lost. He's coming back again someday to take his people home. Are you listening for the trumpet call? The sun was darkened in the sky. When it is finished, came the cry. The victory won on that lonely hill meant forgiveness for you and I. Washes all my sins away, washes all my sins away. The precious blood of Jesus Christ washes all my sins away. Washes all my sins away. Washes all my sins away. The precious blood of Jesus Christ washes all my sins away. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to ask Martin to do a song now. Martin is a great songwriter in his own right, and I'll let him tell you the story about this one.
Thank you very much. As Mike mentioned earlier, we used to put tunes out, records and singles on the thing called NCM, New Christian Music Label. And as he said, these songs went all over the world. And this one ended up, in, of all places, Trinidad and Tobago, which it actually got to number one in the Christian charts over there.
I thought you were pulling my leg when you said that before.
Oh, yeah. But I never got paid anything. I'm still waiting. They're probably going to pay me in coconuts and bananas. But however, here we go. Here we go. One, two, three. Please clap. I want to give you, Lord, nothing but the best. With everything I am, take all of me. Don't take anything back. Let me give what I have in return for what you're doing for me. Let's sing again. I want to give you, Lord, nothing but the best. With everything I am, take all of me. Don't let me keep anything back. Let me give what I have in return for what you're doing for me. All I've seen are people faking, not much giving, lots of taking, empty promises that don't mean a thing. There is one thing certain, there's many people hurt. As I bring them before you, let me sing. So let me give you love, nothing but the best. With everything I am, take all of me. Don't let me keep anything back. Let me give what I have in return for what you're doing for me. Lord, I'm weak, you are strong. Time is short, how I long for a spirit filled with love, burning fire sent from above. So let me give you love, nothing but the best. With everything I am, take all of me. Don't let me keep anything back. Let me give what I have in return for what you're doing for me. You can run, but you can't hide from that feeling inside that keeps you from acknowledging the proof. And I hope and I pray when judgment comes my way, my testimony help people to the truth. So let me give you love, nothing but the best. With everything I am, take all of me. Don't let me keep anything back. Let me give what I have in return for what you're doing for me. In return for what you're doing for me. In return for what you're doing for me. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you, Martin. Now, I want to tell you a little story about a bird. Now, round our way, there's a road near where I live that people use like a rat run over the country road to avoid the main roads. And I go over. I used to go to church in Colne, and on a Sunday, after church, on a Sunday dinner time, I'd go over the tops and then drop down to Nelson on the country road. A lot of traffic use that road, it's like a rat run. But anyway, one Sunday, after I'd had a brew at the church with the fellowship after the service, going home for my Sunday dinner, went up this big hill, round this winding road, and went round this corner where some cottages on the corner where you turn right. And I'm just picking up speed, and a little bird hit my windscreen. And I looked through my rear view mirror, and it was lying in the road, this little bird. And I drove all the way on the top road, which is about 3/4 of a mile, before I dropped down into Nelson. And not one car had come either way in that time, and I couldn't get this bird off my mind. I couldn't get the bird off my mind, and the scripture came to mind about what Jesus had said about my Heavenly Father looks after the sparrows. So I couldn't go home. I turned my car around, and I drove back, and I stopped near the bird. And, you know, not one car had come either way in all this time, which was, you know, quite a while. And it's amazing. But anyway, I got out of the car, took my cap off, ushered the little bird into my cap and stood up, and it flew out of my cap. And I walk around that place a lot, around that country road, and every time I pass that area, now, if I hear a bird singing, I think, them's its chicks. You know, but you know, I told that story to the prison chapel at Strangeways Prison in Manchester one Sunday morning. It was full. The prison was full. Now, a lot of lads say, yes, I'll go to chapel just to get out of the cell. They'll go, you know. But I told that story and you could hear a pin drop. The silence was deafening. it just shows you that it touched their heart, this about this bird. I just hope the gospel touched the hearts as well. But anyway, I've always known a song called His Eyes on the Sparrow. I'd never sang it before, but it was on my mind. I had a record of it by a country singer who died in the mid-90s, and it's on a country album. I have it home, and I can't remember his name, really. But anyway, I'm going to do it on my new album. I'm not telling the story on the album, but I'm doing the song. And hope you like it. It's called His Eyes on the Sparrow. And what did Jesus say? Is if he cares for the sparrows, how much more will he care for us? I'm going to tell you another story after this as well. Why should I feel discouraged? Why should the shadows come? Why should my heart be lonely and long for heaven and home when Jesus is my portion, my constant friend is He. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. Let not your heart be troubled. His tender words I hear, resting in His goodness. I lose my doubts and fear, though by the path He leadeth, but one step I may see. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. Whenever I am tempted, whenever clouds arise, when song gives place to sighing, and hope within me dies, I draw the closer to Him. From care He sets me free. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. For his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches. Thank you very much. I like that little touch with the sparrow there with Martin. I want to share something with you tonight. I feel led to do so. About my health and how my faith got twice as strong through a health problem. About 2 years ago, I was diagnosed with prostate cancer, and it was like hitting me with a sledgehammer, to be quite honest. And anyway, I come to terms with it, and they put me on what they call watchful waiting. And after 4 months, I had another blood test, and my PSA had gone up a little bit more. So after another month, they gave me another blood test, and my PSA had gone up a little bit more. And then they waited about 3 months before they gave me another biopsy. And it had increased a little bit in that time. Looking back, I would have said, give me a scan straight away, you know, looking back. But anyway, I'm a Christian, I trust in God, and so anyway, they started giving me hormone injections once every 3 months, and I get hot sweats every 2 hours. My wife says, you know how I feel now. Anyway, last November, I went to see the oncologist on about the 6th or 7th of November last year, and she'd arranged for me to have radiology treatment at Preston, Royal Preston Hospital, starting on the 27th of November right through to the 22nd of January. And I was going to drive myself there every day, and I was actually really worried. I thought, what if it snows? I was worried that the weather had upset my treatment. Really worried. So I sought God really hard. I prayed and prayed really hard. I sought him that a prayer on these lines, Lord, will you keep the snow away while I'm going for this treatment in Preston every day? Well, as you know, I don't know what it was like down here, but it never snowed all December and January. And you tell someone out there, they say, oh, it was just a coincidence. But I know how hard I prayed and how I sought God over this. Anyway, I finished my treatment on the 22nd of January. And just listen to this. I play my guitar in a house group, a house fellowship. And I went to this fellowship on the Thursday night, the night after I'd finished my treatment. And I came out of the house about 10 o'clock, and my car was white. All the floor was white. And it just brought tears to me as I filled up the day after my treatment. And I felt God saying to me, I did it for you, Michael. And I must say, through this illness, my faith got twice as strong. And going to Preston every day, you got to meet a lot of guys who were going through the same sort of problem. And a lot of them weren't churchgoers or anything and stuff. And you get talking to them. You could have a cup of tea at a little cafe there while you're waiting to go in. And it's amazing how God used my time there. I mean, I remember one morning I was sat round the table, all having a cup of tea. My wife was with me. And this guy says, my daughter's an alcoholic. She's in a right mess. And he says, I just don't know what to do. Well, it just opened the door for me. I just shared my testimony. Just in ordinary conversation, talking to a group of guys around the table. And I never went to that hospital expecting to do that. But this is what was happening. And this happened a few times while I was there. I also even give my gospel album to the oncologist, the cancer specialist. And she actually said she'd enjoyed it. So I don't know where she stands with God, but I gave my album to one or two of these guys as well. So honestly, it was amazing how God used me in that way when I were only going for treatment and it just happened. Anyway, since then, I had another blood test a month after I'd had my treatment and my PSA was really low, so she didn't want to see me for 6 months. And I've just been for this 6 monthly visit and my PSA was lower than ever. It was 0.04 or something, to any of you that understand that stuff. So she didn't want to see me for another 6 months. She said, you could come in 12 if you wanted. I said, no, I'll come in 6. And they can keep their eye on me. But I'm just trying to say this. That scripture that Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, is true. And when you really, really need him, he's there all the time, but when you really need him, he's there really close to you. And my faith's grown twice as strong through. You know, it was strong before, but it's really grown since then through that. So I just want to encourage you that God is always there with us. I want to do a country gospel standard now. This song, we're doing a tour of Ireland and this guy rung me up. He said, do you know Life's Railway to Heaven? And this guy is a really nice guy. His family put us up in his country house every time we've gone over there, Derek. And so I learnt the song to sing for him when we went over. And actually, I'm going to put it on my new album. Boxcar Willie used to sing it and other gospel singers. Life is like a mountain railroad with an engineer that's brave. We must make the run successful from the cradle to the grave. Watch them curve hills and valleys. Never falter, never fail. Keep your hand upon the throttle and your eyes upon the rail. Blessed Savior, thou wilt guide us till we reach that blissful shore where the angels wait to join us in God's praise forevermore.